You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I tried a bit. Tried a little bit.
No, Max tried a bit and you didn't get it.
Wait a minute. I tried a bit. The only guy who likes himself more than himself is me versus me, whatever I said.
When
it was smart when I said it.
Explain the bits, they don't really work.
Yeah, no, it was smart when I said it. It was smart. Trust me. Trust me. Biggest show on radio. Thank you for being out there, and thank you for listening. It means a lot because it allows us to do this dumb show every single day, and I'm not posing, and I still have my edge. I've still got my edge, Ireland, even though I thank people for listening.
Max wouldn't do it.
Max wouldn't what?
Thank people for listening.
That's all right. I stole that bit from Colin. Colin actually does that all the time. And he seems it seems to work
out.
All
right, I want it on record that it was Mason that brought that up and not me.
Oh, screw it. I'll say whatever I want.
Yeah, I know you will.
Yeah,
but Amanda and Chris get all bent over that and they'll blame me for it.
Screw that. We say what we think here. And it comes out the way it comes out. All right, so Bill Barnwell is going to join us here in a minute. Actually, he's online right now. Bill Barnwell from ESPN wrote a big piece yesterday about a number of teams and how they're handling their salary cap and what limitations they may have. Bill joins us right now. Hey, Bill, how you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going?
We're good, Bill, and thank you for doing this, man. Hey, before we get into your salary cap thing, which I thought was fascinating, let me throw something at you. I know that everyone is speculating we're going to get a ton more quarterback movement. And I'm just not buying it. I think Russell Wilson's staying in Seattle. I think Jimmy G's staying in San Francisco. I think Big Ben's going to stay in Pittsburgh. Are you buying that there could be a ton more QB movement between now and the start of the season?
No, I don't think so. You know, I do think that we're going to see Roethlisberger stay at on a different contract. We're going to see Russell Wilson stay in Seattle. I really don't think they're about to trade him. You know, I think a lot of the other people who maybe are like a Dak Prescott, where maybe in some scenario he moves, but I think more likely than not he stays. I'm a little less committed about Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he has a better shot of leaving just because Niners have so much work to do with in terms of bringing the guys back they want to bring back that it makes sense for them to go cheap at quarterback this year. So I think they could be trying to keep his value high as they maybe negotiate a trade to move up. But otherwise, yeah, I think we're going to be looking at basically the same core of quarterbacks from the same places.
So I'm a Rams fan, so I want the Niners to be bad. You're saying they could bring in a cheaper quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, for sure. Jimmy Garoppolo is due $25 million next year. And my logic there is, well, to be a $25 million quarterback, you either have to be healthy or play at a really high level when you are healthy. And I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is either of those things. Obviously, injuries have impacted him pretty much every year outside of 2019. And even in that 2019 season, he was good. But it wasn't like he was the focal point of that offense. It wasn't like he was driving them to victory. So to me, maybe you think about trading up, getting a Trey Lance or someone like that, maybe spending $5, $6 million a year at quarterback. You get a pick back for Garoppolo from maybe the Patriots, and you have $20 million left over. That's the money you use to go and try and re-sign Trent Williams or Richard Sherman or Fred Warner. Try and bring the core of your team back around a cheaper quarterback who might not be that much worse and more likely to stay on the field than Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, Bill, you did a lot of – one of the teams you focused on in this piece you wrote for ESPN.com about salary caps was the Rams. Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN, was on with us yesterday. She thinks that guys like Leonard Floyd and John Johnson are probably gone, that the Rams can't afford them. You agree?
I do. You can always get creative if the market doesn't develop. But Leonard Floyd, of course, had a great season. John Johnson, I mean, a guy who, you know, an upper echelon safety. And the Rams have been pretty clear about this. You know, they don't like first-round picks. They want to trade away all their first-round picks.
Right.
But they do use some of those players they let leave in free agency to get those compensatory picks, try and get those third, fourth-round picks to help supplement the roster, given all the picks they've lost in the first couple of rounds. So I think that's part of their philosophy. So I think they're comfortable letting some of those guys leave. I think they'll try and replace Floyd. You know, I think they'll maybe try and go after someone like a Von Miller. But again, it's going to be dependent on how much cap space they have to work with.
So, that's the question. How much cap space do they actually have to work with? And does it make, for example, Von Miller a possibility?
It's going to be tough. They are in not ideal shape. Of course, they have to deal with some dead money from the Jared Goff trade. I believe Todd Gurley's contract is still on the books for one final year in terms of the dead cap, and that limits how much they can spend. They can be flexible. They can restructure deals, which is something they really haven't done in the past all that much, but this is the year they're going to do it. With the reduced cap from the NFL in general, you figure Aaron Donald's deal is going to get restructured. Jalen Ramsey's deal is going to get restructured. That's going to create some cap space. Now, they have a very desirable location. Of course, a lot of people want to come play in LA. I think a lot of people want to play for Sean McVay. This is a Super Bowl contender. The other thing they can do is restructure Matthew Stafford and give him an extension, which they said they don't really want to do, but it just makes the most sense to pay him now. You can reduce his number this year, push some of the money into the future when the cap is going to be higher. So if they do all those things, if they want to maximize their cap space in 2021, they can go out and add somebody like a Von Miller after he gets cut by the Broncos, and that would not impact their compensatory formula. So they would still get the pick for losing Leonard Floyd without having to give up a pick for getting Von Miller. So, they're going to target someone to play on the edge if they let Leonard Floyd leave. And if the price is right, and if they do all those things they have to do, sure, they can go out and target a Von Miller and make that work on a 1 or 2 year deal.
We're talking to Bill Barnwell from ESPN. Bill, I'm going to have you explain, when you say restructure Aaron Donald mm-hmm. or restructure Jalen Ramsey, I think most listeners hear that and they go, well, why would Donald or Ramsey do that? They don't necessarily end up mm-hmm. taking less money, right? They get it in the form of a signing bonus, and that creates – hey, explain how restructuring helps the Rams.
Yeah, so let me ask you guys. You guys get paid every 2 weeks. I know I get paid every 2 weeks.
Yes.
Right.
If you had the opportunity to get paid your entire year salary on Tuesday with no – you'd probably take that, right?
Signs me, you.
For you.
Yeah.
You'd enjoy
make that,
that
money
so
work for me, sure.
That's what a restructure is. The NFL team says, hey, we're going to convert your base salary, the thing you get paid every single week during the season, into a bonus. You're going to get that bonus right now. It's going to be in your bank account a couple days from now. Do whatever you want with it. That's paid. That's good. But for cap purposes, for accounting purposes, when you change a base salary into a bonus, you can spread it across the remainder of the years of that guy's contract for cap purposes. So if Aaron Donald has a $16 million base salary, which I'm just throwing a number out there, you can take that $16 million in base salary, convert it to a bonus. Aaron Donald gets his money up front, and then you can spread that $16 million over the next 4 years for cap purposes, for accounting purposes. So you're only on the hook for $4 million in 2021 when it comes to the accounting. So even though you've paid Aaron Donald the same exact amount of money, and he's getting the money up front, so he doesn't care, you've created $12 million in 2021 cap space. So obviously it hurts if you cut a guy because in all the things that you haven't accounted for accelerates onto your cap, which is what's happening with Jared Goff and happened with the Todd Gurley cut a couple years ago. But for these guys you think are going to be core players, you're going to want to keep around, it's a way to free up money. And I think it's a deal the Rams are going to take when it comes to Donald and Jalen Ramsey and maybe also the receivers as well.
So I love the Rams. How much better did they get with Matthew Stafford instead of Jared Goff?
They got better. I don't think that's in question here. I think Matthew Stafford creates more out of structure, a guy who, you know, certainly has a bigger arm, a better downfield passer, deals better with pressure. My only concern here is that, you know, I think the defense got worse. Obviously, losing Brandon Staley to the Chargers, losing probably Leonard Floyd and John Johnson, it's going to hurt them. It's not going to kill them because they have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, and that's a great place to start. But they're going to be rebuilding a bit on defense. And so, to me, I think you've upgraded a quarterback. My only question is that going to be more than what you've accomplished? Is that sort of going to make up for downgrade on defense? I think they could end up being better at quarterback, but still kind of being in the same position they were a year ago when it comes to the overall sort of team performance.
Bill, last thing for me, you mentioned, and I agree with you, that Russell Wilson's probably not going to move. If he did move to either the Saints or the Cowboys, wouldn't that immediately, just that one move, make those two teams Super Bowl contenders, or am I overrating what that would be?
I mean, I think they have to be Super Bowl contenders. I mean, the Saints, you know, one of the best teams in football the past 2 years, have lost in the playoffs, obviously. And, you know, this year it seemed like Drew Brees just sort of, you know, the batteries ran out when they got to the postseason, but they had a bunch of injuries elsewhere. And I think they have to be Super Bowl contenders. They might be Super Bowl contenders with Taysom Hill at quarterback, let alone, you know, Russell Wilson. And for the Cowboys, you know, I think they can be contenders with Dak Prescott. You know, I think it's about keeping him healthy, and I think it's about keeping the quarterback healthy. But that offense was incredible over the first few weeks of the season last year before Dak got hurt. The defense, not so much, but they've made some changes on defense, and hopefully they'll be better on defense in 2021. But I think they're a sleeper to go to the Super Bowl, whether it's Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson at quarterback.
All right. Hey, listen, Bill, thank you very much. Really great stuff. Appreciate it, and we will talk to you again hopefully soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too, right, Bill.
Hey,
Bill
Mace.
Barmore. Yeah.
So, you know, you and I always talk about that there are certain teams in sports that always go for it.
Sure.
Okay. Why wouldn't the Saints or the Cowboys literally give Seattle whatever they want? Like when the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis, they told the Pelicans, take whatever you want.
Right.
And the Lakers got beat up for it. They said, oh, they gave up way too much. They gave up all their draft picks. They gave up all their young core. It's, you know, but they went for it.
Yep.
And it worked. You know, it won him a title. Russell Wilson is in his prime. And
you're immediate a Super Bowl contender.
Right. Why wouldn't you, if you were the Saints or the Cowboys, call the Seahawks and go, make your own Herschel Walker trade. We're going for it.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know. And by the way, we don't know if Seattle actually is even picking up the phone right now, right?
Sure.
We don't even know that. Just like we think, or at least we've heard, I heard Diana Rossini say, the Texans are not picking up the phone.
Well, they're stupid because Deshaun Watson is – you need to have a willing participant be the leader of your team. Russell Wilson is not saying anything like Deshaun Watson saying. Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade. Russell Wilson is – he's the leader
of the team. He's trying to leverage for more control over the organization.
Right, but he's the leader of that team, and I can't ever see him mailing it in. Deshaun Watson is leaking it that he'll sit out before he'll go play for the Texans.
Yeah, there is no way, if I was the Houston Texans, that I would trade Deshaun Watson. There's
so
no
even,
way I'm trading
even
a
if,
top three quarterback
okay.
in the NFL.
Even if he sits out.
He will eventually play.
What
I don't. First of all, I would call his bluff. I don't think he would do it. I think he would wind up playing. And I think that under new general manager, new president of football operations, new head coach, I like the odds that they're going to improve with Deshaun Watson. I think they're going to go out and get him
weapons. I could not disagree with you more about this. Why would you make the face of your franchise a guy? You saw what happened with James Harden.
This league is about quarterbacks. Why would you trade, arguably, in my opinion, the third best quarterback in the NFL?
Because
the league is about quarterbacks.
Because he doesn't want to be there. Why
yeah,
would you
I
want
would,
a guy who doesn't want to be there?
I would do everything to make him happy right down to the wire. Whatever you want, Deshaun, you get.
No, wait a minute. That was too late. Deshaun didn't have any input on hiring this GM or this coach, and that's what he asked for.
But in terms of player personnel, whatever you want.
Yeah,
what...
and now J.J. Watt's gone, and now the receiver's gone.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins they traded, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play there. And you're saying, I'm making you play
How
here.
Do you win that trade? Explain to me how you win a Deshaun Watson trade. What is the victory? What can you actually accomplish with that trade? It's to me, there's no way you win. You
Wait
lose that trade. Why make a trade you're going to lose?
Did the Cowboys win the Herschel Walker trade?
They did. But that's an exception to the rule.
Right, but I'm saying – That's
did the Rockets win the James Harden trade? No.
Right, but we won't know for a while.
Well, we have a pretty good idea, given the talent that they got, that the Nets won the James Harden trade. There's no way to trade away a top five NBA player and win unless you're getting back another top five NBA player. You automatically lose.
Oh, that's
And you automatically lose if you make a Deshaun Watson trade.
I disagree. I think that it depends what you get back. Like, if you got back four number ones, that's not winning the trade. Houston's not going to the Super Bowl next year anyway, with or without Deshaun Watson.
Are you sure? Are you guaranteed to find a young quarterback who is elite and is in the top three in the NFL? No, I don't make that trade.
for four number ones.
I don't make the trade.
Would you do it for five number ones?
Do I do it for five number ones in the history of the NFL? I mean, it's. I don't think anybody would make that offer, but yeah, sure. I mean, that's possible. That's possible.
Rams would make that offer. Rams have traded
five number ones already. No, they traded two number ones.
Right, but they've traded
Matthew
Stafford. They've traded their last five number one picks.
Correct. They have.
So they don't care about them anyway.
The Rams don't believe in number one picks.
Right.
And I understand that. So who's to say Houston believes in number one picks?
That's how they get Deshaun Watson.
You cannot win that trade. You cannot win that trade.
Yeah, disagree. I think it depends what's out there, and you don't want a guy leading your franchise who hates you.
Yeah, and I
can't
I
make
say,
someone
give it,
love
give it
you.
Time and it'll come around. Give it time and it'll come around.
You're
I'm
out
not
of your
trading
mind.
The third best quarterback in the NFL. All right, coming up next for you is the scoop. All the stuff in sports that we haven't gotten to yet. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
And we're going to go ahead. AC Milan forward Zlatan Ibrahimovic has reaffirmed his belief that athletes should stick to sports. He addressed comments aimed at Lakers star LeBron James, speaking at a news conference Tuesday ahead of the start of the Italian musical festival Sanremo with Ibrahimovic. I screwed it up now.
Ibrahimovic.
Ibrahimovic.
Just call him Zlatan.
Zlatan. He said, quote, he doubled down, John. He says, quote, athletes unite the world, politics divide it. Our role is to unite the world by doing what we do best. Athletes should be athletes. Politicians should be politicians. We talked about this yesterday. We both agree LeBron shouldn't stick to sports if he doesn't want to. Talking about issues of racial injustice, he's completely appropriate and necessary. But the king went one step further last year. He actually endorsed a presidential candidate, Joe Biden. Let's make a distinction. Social issues are one thing. Should athletes actually endorse a candidate in any race, presidential or otherwise? Isn't that truly politics?
They have in the past. Athletes have in the past. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. LeBron endorsed Hillary Clinton. Introduced her when she spoke in Ohio.
Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work. He also supported Barack Obama.
He sprouted against Mitt Romney, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I have no problem with anyone using their platform if they want to get political. Now, where it gets interesting is, for example, ESPN is run by a guy named Jimmy Pitaro.
Yep.
And when Jimmy took over, he basically said, look, people don't come here for politics, they come here for sports.
Yeah.
And he issued an edict, we're not going to talk politics on our radio shows, on our TV shows, we're not going to do it. And a lot of people that tried to use their platforms to talk politics left the company. Jemele Hill left the company. Dan Le Batard left the company. But then the world changed. And now ESPN talks politics all the time. So well, I would say it's a moving target.
It is a moving target.
You have to, like, when George Floyd happened, that changed everything. It made it impossible to cover sports and talk about sports when NBA players weren't showing up for games in the playoffs because they felt strongly about it. So I have zero problem with anybody using their platform. I personally don't talk a lot of politics on this show. You don't either.
Yeah.
Because we just don't think
that's why. And by the way, it's regardless of edict or guidance or whatever you want to call it, I have no interest in doing politics on the show. I just don't think this is – we're not your place for politics. This ain't Fox News Channel or MSNBC. We all have our private opinions. You probably suspect what they are. But I don't like going on the air. Like, I cringe when you – because you'll occasionally bring up a question about that involves current or past president. And I'm like, I don't really want to get in. I don't know.
Right, but I mean,
it.
You brought this up, and it's an intersection between sports and politics.
Yeah, so, true.
So, I mean, it's hard not to cover it in some way, but I have no issue with anybody that – I think Zlatan actually has a point. I think that it's risky to talk politics.
Some people believe it. Yeah, some people strongly believe
but
in
I'll
that.
Say, I'll say what I said yesterday about LeBron. I've never seen anybody use their platform more successfully than he has. And if you don't believe me, read the details of the I Promise School in Akron.
Yeah. Never heard of Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, Michael. Muhammad Ali, man.
Oh, Muhammad Ali was penalized for his political views.
Muhammad Ali was like, was villainized.
Sacrificed his career.
Yeah, right.
That's the standard, Ireland.
Yeah, but if you look at what LeBron has done.
Oh, he's done tremendous things.
I just think it's very hard to criticize him for the way he's used his
body. But Michael is right. There is a generation, and Michael,
Tommy Smith, John Carlos.
Yeah,
they paid his wife committed suicide.
Kareem, Russell.
Jim Brown. Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Okay,
Michael, I'm
going
to ask you again. Have you seen One Night in Miami? No, you haven't.
Listen, I'm going to see it because I do want to see it. I love that kind of movie. I am going
to
watch it.
Michael, can someone at your house explain to you how to turn on Netflix?
No, Trace is gone, Clay is gone, and Michael's gone. I think Julie knows how to do it, though. I think she knows.
Michael, do you know how to use FaceTime?
What's the? When people call me, you just push the button, right?
Yeah. All right. So FaceTime me so I can see what your setup is, and I'll tell you. I'll successfully get you on to Netflix.
Okay. Why? Okay. What's on Netflix?
That One Night in Miami. This movie we're talking about is on Netflix.
It's like every movie's on Netflix.
It's actually on Prime.
It's on Prime.
Prime.
It's on
that's
Amazon
harder.
Prime.
Yeah, I got Prime. I got the app.
Okay, that's
you got
harder.
The app. There you go. Okay. Yeah, we'll help you, Michael.
All right, guys. The John Burroughs High varsity baseball team. Was suspended this week after they took a picture sitting outside the school. They had a group of players, and I sent you guys the picture so you've seen it.
Okay.
A group of players sitting on a wall outside John Burroughs High School. One of the moms took the picture. It's 8 kids, and now they've been suspended, and here's why. The principal issued a statement, we had a group of players and families dress up in uniform and take pictures on campus in violation of health orders. No masks, no social distancing, mixing of families. Then they posted the picture on a baseball social media site. No player or family from the team notified the coach, school, district of this health order violation. So because they took this picture, all they're doing is sitting on the wall.
Yeah, I see it.
They have been suspended for a week, and the varsity athletes, these guys are all varsity guys, are going to be out of school next year, are not allowed to play baseball, at least for now. The photos were taken by a parent, Joe D. Freck, whose son Rory plays on the team. Here's what she says about it. Our boys have been teammates and friends for years prior to Burroughs, which is why the families are so close. These kids have lost almost an entire year. This photo was taken with the idea to commemorate and remember their senior season. The boys were just trying to make their moms happy. Mace, they did violate the health order. They did not practice social distancing. They're not wearing masks. Did they deserve to get suspended for this photo?
I understand the health and protocol stuff and all that, but these guys play on the same team.
Correct.
They're obviously in close quarters when they're in the locker room and when they're anywhere else. So I don't understand why players on the same team who are already around each other a lot, being around each other without masks, I'm not sure why this picture pushes anything further. So, no, I don't agree with the suspension.
I think this is extreme. Michael, why do you not believe in it?
Just government overreach.
I agree. I think that this is as they used to say, a $100 punishment for a 10-cent crime.
Yeah.
They could have very easily condemned these kids.
Sure.
Yeah, just a warning.
Made an example out of them saying, by the way, take that picture down, and then announce why they made them take it down without suspending them.
Right.
This is extreme punishment for something that was well-intended. I think that, as usual, the school overreacted. Mace, it's to you.
All right. Let's see here. All right. USC has released, actually the entire Pac-12 released their 2021 schedule. And John, they got Keaton Slovis coming back. Drake London's coming back. 2,000-yard rushers, best recruiting class in the Clay Helton era, a top 5 recruiting class nationally. So I'm going to play a schedule game. I'll go through the schedule. You tell me what you think. I think USC may run the table. You ready?
Yeah, go.
Home, San Jose State.
Win.
Home, Stanford.
Loss.
Disagree. at Washington State.
Oh, the Palouse. Is it a night game?
I don't know the answer to
that. If it's a night game loss, if it's a day game win.
Home Oregon State.
Big win.
At Colorado, Carl Durrell.
30-point win.
Home Utah. Tough one.
Tough game, but they'll win.
At Notre Dame.
Loss.
Home Arizona.
Win.
At Arizona State.
Win.
At Cal.
Win.
Home UCLA.
Loss.
Home BYU.
It's tricky. BYU beat them last time. But if it's at the Coliseum, I'll say USC wins.
And plus their quarterback is gone too. So here's the thing about the USC schedule.
I think I had them with four losses.
That's ridiculous. Once again, they've got no Oregon and no Washington. And they get their toughest games at home. Stanford, Utah, the one tough spot, to me the trouble spot is at Notre Dame. That's the game that will determine if they go undefeated or not. John, what does Clay Helton need to do to keep his job given the schedule he's got? There's no Alabama on the schedule. You're not at Oregon. You're not home to Washington. You dodge the big boys. What does he need to keep his job?
To keep his job, he needs to win the Pac-12 championship game and go to the Rose Bowl. I would say he has
not
to
go to the playoff.
Yeah, I would say he has to go to the playoff, but I don't think they would fire him if he won the Pac-12 and goes to the Rose Bowl. Do you?
I do not. I do not. And I think this schedule is incredibly favorable, and I think they do have for the first time have a chance to actually run the table. Schedule-wise, it looks very favorable.
So when the first loss happens is when I'll get my first Clay must go text from you?
Probably. I mean, I have emotional moments when I sort of let
loose.
Last
year I got one after during each of the first three games, two of which they came back to win.
Yeah, two of which they did win. Yeah, that's a tradition. Clay must go. I will send you that text, even if they're down at halftime. All right, it's to you.
I think we're done.
Oh, we're done. That's it. That's all we got. Coming up next for you, Michael Thompson's hanging out. We were talking earlier about whether or not the Nets are a real challenge to the Lakers in an NBA Finals. Hold your opinion, Michael. Coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, some guy named Rodrigo in our fantasy basketball league cleaned my clock on a trade. I got totally suckered by this. I
traded
Carl Anthony Towns and another really good player.
Yeah, you don't even know the guys you traded. That's a problem.
For Kevin Durant. Which I think is good, and he's also a good keeper for next year.
Yeah, I disagree with Sedano that there's a chance Durant won't come back. I think Durant and AD are in the same boat. They're just playing it cautious with him, and Durant before he got hurt, Mace, looked like the old Durant. Looked like he had never had any Achilles problems.
Oh, it was Cat and Beal, Bradley Beal.
You traded Bradley Beal?
I did.
Why?
Because I'm playing for next year. There was no way I was going to get into the money. I'm playing for next year so I can keep Kevin Durant for next year. I couldn't keep Bradley Beal for next year.
Because you can only keep a certain amount of people?
Yeah, no, because it's where they are in the draft. So I traded because I wanted Kevin Durant for next year. But in the end, Sedano and Mike Trudell both think I made a huge mistake.
I agree, I still had a chance to
get into the money. Yeah, screw them. Screw that. All right, so last night, Nets win. Kyrie Irving, post-game. What do you say to the Nets fans who are witnessing what Harden has done for this team in such a short period of time?
I think we have to implement the phrase, get used to it. You know, when someone's that special, someone's that talented, someone's that gifted, and they're able to, you know, do all facets of the game at a very high level. They're able to play, at a very high level, and he's been displaying that. And it makes it easier for me. I'm sure other guys can echo the sentiment. When James is being James, it makes all our job a lot easier. And, we got to get used to somebody special like that doing, things like that in terms of breaking records. So I can't wait to be right alongside him with my name in Nets history, alongside KD, alongside BB, alongside Joe, alongside all the guys on our team where we're just breaking records as a team. And then individually, we're stacking up with some of the best to ever play.
Okay, so MT, 7 triple-doubles for James Harden since he got to Brooklyn. Yep. They win last night. They've played really, really well, even without Kevin Durant, who's been injured with a strained hamstring. Are they a threat? And I think Philly is going to beat them in the Eastern Conference Finals, but if they get there, are they a threat to upset the Lakers for the NBA championship?
Oh, heck yeah. Are you kidding me? Why would you even ask that question?
Think the Nets are going to make the finals.
I think Philly's going to make the finals.
I don't understand this logic by you, Mace. I mean, Philadelphia has one champion on their roster, where the Nets have two guys who have been there in the clutch in the finals.
Yeah, I think that. Look, James Harden has wilted under pressure.
I'm not talking about him.
James
Harden, Kyrie and KD, two guys who carry their teams.
James Harden has not been a great postseason player.
That's okay.
He's just not.
But you know what? It's different this year because he doesn't have to carry the Nets. He just basically can compliment those other two, and that takes a lot of pressure off of Harden. That's why he's playing so free and easy.
I watched Philly last week. Embiid is playing out of his mind.
One guy. You think one guy's going to beat those three?
Simmons is a walking triple-double, and they've got reliable three-point shooting. They make up for it with guys like Seth Curry and Shake Milton, who I think had 6 threes last night.
Who would you rather have shooting the ball, Seth or Shake or Danny or James, Joe, KD, and Kyrie?
Yeah, there really is.
Answer
no
the
match.
Question, Mace. Who would you rather have shooting the ball at big time in big games?
Well, I guess.
No. Well, get to answer the question.
Well, I guess was the way I was going to start answering the question. I'm allowed to start the question. I would want KD above all.
And his crew over those Philadelphia crew, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I just don't think they have any answer from Embiid.
And what's the answer for Kevin Durant and Kyrie and James Harden? What's the answer for them?
By the way, Mace, Embiid has never dominated a playoff series like you're suggesting he's going to.
Yeah, but he is unbelievably dominant right now.
Yeah.
I'm watching the guy play, and he's a great shooter.
Yeah, I love Embiid.
By the way, one thing about Embiid that's really underrated, he's an 83% free throw shooter for a big guy.
Yeah,
that is huge.
Threes. Michael has said before he has the most complete set of skills for a big man he's ever seen.
Yeah, in history. Yep.
Better than Shaq.
Oh,
Without question, I'm agreeing. Yes. Better than Shaq.
Oh, yeah.
Mace, you have to remember that in the playoffs, as soon as he touches the ball, whoever is guarding Ben Simmons is going to run to double Embiid.
I love this whole look, you guys are big on this. Once it gets to the playoffs, you can build a wall with Giannis. Once you get to the playoffs, you can.
Right.
Why are you not doing it now? If it's possible during the playoffs, why can't it be done when you're seeing Milwaukee on a Tuesday night?
In the playoffs, you have 4 to 7 games to adjust your defense and figure out what works. That's why it's easier to do it in the playoffs than it is for one game.
Yeah, I don't get that strategy. In the playoffs, we'll build a wall, but during the regular season, we won't.
Well, you see it. Sometimes you see it against Milwaukee where teams won't let Giannis drive to the basket, and he turns into
How are you going to defend Embiid differently in the postseason than you do in the regular season? And why wouldn't you guard him the same way if you want to beat Philly on a Wednesday night in March?
Yeah, that's a good point, Mace. But you're right. When Embiid is in the low post, they'll have DeAndre Jordan behind him, and they'll come with a double team off of Simmons and force the ball to go back to him outside.
Give me Embiid.
Over Kevin Durant.
Okay, let's accept
your premise. Wait a minute. Over Durant? Durant's been there, done that twice. What are you talking about?
Look, I love Durant. There's a lot of talent in that series, period.
MVP
there's a lot
finals
of talent.
Twice.
Yeah,
but yet you would take a guy who's never done it?
I told you, if I want one shot in that series, give me Kevin Durant.
Well, duh.
But ultimately, I think Philly gets there over Brooklyn. But regardless, part of that is a bet, Michael Thompson.
I heard the field
versus John Ireland.
I heard that
Brooklyn.
Bet. I'll go with that. How about a bottle of Camus Select too?
Bottle of Camus, and you buy me Granddaddy Purple OG.
What's that?
You buy me 5 joints of Granddaddy Purple OG.
Yeah, but, weed, Michael.
But I
weed.
Can't. I can't go get a dog.
Sure, you can. It's completely legal.
We'll just give him the money.
No, it's completely legal. You can walk in, and that's part of the fun. You can walk into a dispensary and for recreational purposes buy that.
But people will see me buying it and they'll call Tim Harris and I'll get fired, right?
That's part of the deal.
If the Lakers knew I was buying weed, wouldn't they fire me, Ireland?
Probably.
No, they wouldn't. It's completely legal.
It is? Still,
yeah.
Really?
It's completely legal.
You think the Lakers would condone that if they knew that
I don't think they'd condone it, but I don't think they'd care.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
John, would they actually care?
Well, I don't want to find out. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael has more rope than I do because he played.
Let's just say.
I'll give you the money. If I lose, we'll just give you the cash.
Mace, we will take care of your costs for the Granddaddy Purple.
How much does that cost, by the way? 5 joints.
5 joints cost me about $30.
Oh, that's nothing, yeah.
Yeah, that's not. How much is a bottle of Camus Select?
$165.
Done.
Wow. Done. That's how confident you are.
Done.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. The word is it's the highest rated part of the show, so we're excited for that. Lindsay's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Michael Thompson hanging out. Phoenix tonight for the Lakers. Big showdown at Staples Center.
Really
Phoenix,
good game.
One of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in the league, them in Utah probably. So we're getting you ready for that. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, here we go. Time for Radio Tinder. Lindsay, what do you got for us?
All right, this first one comes from the ever-popular Am I the A-Hole Reddit page, where a woman asked about accommodating her vegan coworker. The woman said that her coworker, Carla, was never the kind of vegan that tried to convert meat eaters, but one day Carla made a request that seemed unfair. She asked the woman to eat her hamburger outside during her lunch break because she didn't like the smell. It was cold and it was snowing, so she kind of ignored the coworker and ate it in the only break room that they had. But the move didn't go over well with other coworkers, who, after hearing about the incident from Carla, told the woman that she was mean and that she should compromise. Do you agree with the meat eater's coworkers? Swipe left or swipe right?
I disagree. I swipe left. I don't think I should have to go outside because you don't like the smell of my hamburger.
Yeah.
I have my right to eat just like you have your right to eat. I'm not going outside.
Yeah, I don't like your friggin' tofu, whatever you're eating, and I'm allowed to eat whatever I want. I think the vegetarian or the vegan is the a-hole. You are a vegan or a vegetarian, Lindsay?
I'm a vegetarian.
Vegetarian, so
not vegan.
You eat, like, eggs and stuff?
No, I don't eat eggs, but I'm not, like, totally vegan. Like, once in a while, I'll eat cheese.
Have you ever had an In-N-Out?
No.
That would change your mind.
I could turn you. Lindsay, let me take you to In-N-Out. You'll say, what was I thinking?
Just get the protein
double
burger.
And those French fries, fresh fries. You'd be good, man.
Lindsay.
Had their grilled cheese. Their grilled cheese is good. That works. Yeah.
Everything they have is good, but you got to try In-N-Out before you die, Lindsay.
Yeah, but just because you're a vegan or a vegetarian or you eat gluten-free or whatever other dietary restrictions people have, don't put your rules on my body.
But wait, she's not though. She's just – okay, so this is where I get a little, you know, argumentative.
Okay, because, argumentative?
Yes, because my roommate, like the smell of like bacon, for example, makes me want to vomit.
Oh, I love bacon.
And it's not only because I'm a vegetarian. I just think it's a disgusting smell and it grosses me out. So, like, obviously, like, thank goodness my roommate doesn't eat a whole bunch of bacon. But, like, I know if, like, he's going to cook some bacon, like, I need to go. I'll go somewhere else. I don't think I would ever ask him not to cook it. But I think you got to do things like open the windows and stuff like that to try and make a compromise. So I guess what I'm asking here is, like, the coworkers in the situation said that this woman should have come to some kind of compromise. Don't you think there's a compromise to be made there?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to go. One person doesn't have to go outside in the cold where it's snowing. I mean, give me a break.
But what's a logical compromise if this really bothers? It's kind of like,
since the vegan is the person who has the problem with it,
yeah,
she can go down the hallway or into another office while the person eats at their desk.
What about Lindsay's situation? Now, for you, Lindsay, if you were my roommate and you, I would go to like a breakfast, get a breakfast burrito and bring it home. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I don't care if he orders bacon, yeah, but cooking it.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Since you couldn't take stand the smell, that's what I would do for Lindsay.
Well, thanks, Michael. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, that's very nice, Michael. Yeah.
All
right, what's next?
People in general who cook things like fish in the microwave at work, those people are jerks anyway, and those people are the a-holes. So,
okay, good to know.
Just an extension of that.
No fish around Lindsay in the microwave.
No, that's around most people. I think if you did a poll, most people will agree with me on that.
That would be my first lunch when you get back in the studio.
You cannot cook fish in a community microwave. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
WWE superstar Randy Orton,
yes,
was not about to let Soulja Boy slander the WWE on his watch. On Monday night, that cranked that rapper, he took to social media to randomly mock wrestling for being fake while comparing it to the current rap game. Orton took offense to Soulja Boy's tweet, and he wanted to make sure to let the rapper know that while the results of a wrestling match are predetermined, pro wrestling is still very real considering how many wrestlers suffer injuries throughout their careers. Here's what his tweet said. Fake, dare this bleep to step up. He don't like movies? Consider us actors that do stunts without pads 200 days a year and don't complain when we get surgically repaired and come right back. Consider us 100 times tougher than anyone you've come across. Ain't nothing but a bleep, bleep. Do you agree with Randy Orton about wrestling not being quote-unquote fake? Swipe left or swipe right?
Totally agree.
Wrestling is choreographed.
So is basketball. So is football.
It's not. You don't know
the outcome. Predetermined.
You don't,
Michael,
know the outcome of a basketball game or a baseball game. So,
When the Chiefs play Jacksonville, don't you know the outcome?
No. I didn't know the outcome when Oakland beat Kansas City this year. I would have expected Kansas City to win that game. I think the word fixed is strong, but it's choreographed and the outcome is known. They're tremendous athletes, unbelievable athletes. What they do is incredible.
Yes.
But they're also actors playing a script.
That's exactly what he said.
Lindsay, do you know who's wrestling?
He said that.
You know who's wrestling tomorrow night, Lindsay?
Who's wrestling tomorrow night?
You guys don't know?
No, we haven't heard the big news.
Shaq.
Oh, yeah, I do know. Shaq is wrestling.
Shaq's wrestling tomorrow night. Yeah, on AEW against Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that'll be a good one.
Well, I'll tune in for Shaq.
Yeah, he's on tomorrow. Well, that'll be on TNT tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Mace.
But who's going to win that one?
So he's saying he has problem the word fixed.
No, fake. He said it's fake. The rapper's quote was like, the rap game's faker than WWE. That's what he said.
Yeah, no, I don't believe it's fake. I think fake is a strong word. It is choreographed, and the outcome is known, and there are actors playing a role. But, yeah, no, I would not say fake. It's real.
Oh, yeah.
Good. I'm glad you said it. What about you, Ireland?
Yeah, Ireland, Mr. Hoity-toity.
I'm not into
not listening.
See,
no.
There he goes.
There he
goes. It's beneath you, right, Mr. Thurston Howell the Third?
I'm with Mason. It's predetermined. The results
Mason said it's
but
not
is fake. It
fake?
Yeah. What about your mythical money?
Yeah,
is that fake?
Wrestling's fake.
It's not fake.
No. It's not fake because, as Randy Orton pointed out, he says that while the results of the match are predetermined, it's real considering how many wrestlers suffer serious injuries. They get stitched up and they get – think of all the injuries they have, the concussions. I mean, they have guys getting hit so hard in the head that –
take a bump, then he'll know it's not fake.
Yeah, you know what Adam said? Adam said what?
Go ahead.
Get in the ring and take a – let Rick Flair put you in the figure four.
By the way, I'm going to put $2,000 on Shaq winning tomorrow night.
Yes.
$2,000 mythical dollars.
So the only way to advance the storyline against the best wrestler in the company, which one of my friends recently signed with AEW.
Ooh.
His name is Ryan Nemeth, who is the real-life brother of Dolph Ziggler in WWE.
Yeah.
So he signed with AEW, and he's – I think they call him like the Hollywood hunk AEW.
I like that.
Yeah. There's a former Laker cheerleader who's one of the big –
Yeah, Carmella.
Yeah. She's like a big deal in wrestling.
Yes, she is.
She doesn't wrestle a lot, though. She just kind of goes out there and struts around and then goes back.
I would watch her go out there and strut around. I think she's very talented.
You know, really quick, funny story about her. When I was meeting up with one of my friends who's an announcer in WWE, Carmella came over to talk to him, and she was carrying the Money in the Bank briefcase, which is a literal briefcase that you win if you win that match called the Money in the Bank match. And if you win that briefcase, then you can change it in at any time at any match for a title, mm-hmm. like a shot at the title. She was in the airport carrying it around, and I was like, why are you carrying that? And she's like, because I have to. And I was like, what? And she's like, yes, I have to carry it around with me in public. Wow. Otherwise, I get fined. So the WWE makes them carry some of these props around.
Yeah.
So in case they run into fans, they have to take pictures and the whole nine yards. Which
that's
I thought
cool.
was crazy.
Did you take a picture with her?
No.
Ah! You could have
I was with my friend. I didn't want a fangirl out.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness. I would have held that. I would have grabbed that briefcase and took a picture with that.
I felt weird doing it in front of my friend. But anyway, last one here.
Yep.
The quarantine hit Tiger King was such a huge hit on Netflix last year that a season two is apparently in the works, according to a report from What's on Netflix. Of course, there's a lot to discuss since the first season has been released. The biggest stories are, you know, Joe Exotic attempting to get a presidential pardon.
Yes.
The Tiger King Zoo permanently closing. Carol Baskin also appeared on Dancing with the Stars, but I guess participation in a sequel is probably doubtful considering she had a falling out with that whole thing. She felt like she was betrayed by the filmmakers. So I want to ask you guys, would you watch a Tiger King sequel? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, that's over.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, that's over for me. I already know the story. I know the characters. I'm done with them. It kind of burned out. You can't go home again. I say no, I'm not into it. I love the first one. The first one was a lot of fun, but I don't need part two.
I can't remember who it was, Mace. Was it Frank Vogel or Stan Kasten or Andrew Friedman, who one of those people said to us, those are 7 hours of my life I will never
I think
ever
it was
get
I think
back.
It was Kevin Demoff.
I think it was one of the Dodger
I think it was
guys.
Stan Kasten.
Yeah. Stan Kasten?
And, I'm pretty sure.
And I completely agree with Stan. I regret watching the first one, so there's no way I would watch a second one.
I feel like I kind of have to watch it because – I don't know. It was just like it was a cult quarantine thing. It's one of those things that'll be on a, you know, I Love the 90s episode like 20 years from now when they do one of those on VH1 where it's something that everyone's going to talk about this phenomenon. So I feel like it behooves me as a Tiger King watcher of the first one. I feel like I have to watch it.
By the way, you just said I Love the 90s. From 2000 to 2010 are the aughts, right?
The aughts, right.
What are we in now?
The teens.
No,
the
I mean,
teens.
What we're
no,
the in the 20s.
20s. The 20s. The roaring
20s. We're in the
20s
now. But
oh, yeah, the roaring 20s.
The 10 to the 20s, that would the teens?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
All right. Coming up next for you, John, we talked about this earlier. We're going to do it next. Five funniest TV characters of all time.
All right, one of mine is a salute to Michael Thompson. I'm just letting you know.
Excellent.
Right now.
All right.
And by the way, if you got an idea, want to react to our list, 877-710-ESPN. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.